I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. As you join me today, let me remind you that we are exploring the book of Romans. And last time we left off with verse 12 of Romans 13. And I'd like to recap that just a moment. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. The night is far spent. This means that the night has advanced, and it's gone. It's far gone, and it's almost over. But it's not quite. The day is at hand, and I believe this is speaking of the day of the rapture. The Lord's coming is so near, it's almost here. I believe what Paul is saying. And we are living in this dark world. It's still nighttime, but the day will soon be here. And as believers, we are looking for that day. We're looking for the day of Christ, the day of Christ's return, the day of the rapture. The Bible says looking for that blessed hope, waiting expectantly for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to put on the armor of light. We're to be clothed. We're to wait for that day. We're to be busy. We remember in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We're to present our bodies as a service, to be in the service of the Lord until he says, come up hither. Now in Romans chapter 13 and verse 13, the Bible says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but in not in strife and envying. This would be party. I call this party sins. Believers are to walk honestly or decently. The same word is found in 1 Corinthians 14:40. It says, let all things be done decently and in order. We're to do things that bring honor and glory to our Lord. We're to walk properly as the children of light. Even though it's still night, we are not of the night. And we are to walk in a manner that is proper and decent for those who belong to the day. And as we read on, it talks about rioting, means revelry. That word's hard for me to say, revelry. This is excessive feasting, carousing, drinking, dancing. We're to watch out for those things. We're not to be drunk. It talks about drunkenness. This means being drunk physically or living our lives oblivious to what is going on around us, or being drunk physically. We are to stay awake, alert, and sober, filled with the Spirit, not drunk with wine, as Ephesians 5:18 says. Now, I call that party sins in that verse. Now, the next is bedroom sins. Romans 13:13 says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Chambering means refers to any sexual activity outside of marriage. Sexual immorality of any kind, heterosexual, homosexual, is an abomination to the Lord. And what I mean heterosexual, that means outside of marriage. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Notice the word wantonness. This means having no sexual restraint, uncontrolled lust, lasciviousness. It means unbridled lust, debauchery, extreme indulgence in sensuality. And it could include orgies, and wife swapping, and other sexual excesses. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. There's many other verses that we could look into. 1 Peter 4:3, Mark 7:21 and 22 talks about this. Well, that was bedroom sins. Now let's look at satanic sins. In that verse, it talks about, in verse 13, it talks about strife and envying. Strife means discord, contention, quarreling. In Galatians 5:20, it says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, and that has to do with that, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. 1 Corinthians 1:11 says, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. This would be quarrelings among the people of God, and this is not to be. And that verse also talks about envying. And you remember now, this is the satanic sins. This is the devil is the author of this, of course, and envying is jealous, wanting what another has or what another can do. The sins of strife and envying both have pride at their root, the very sin which resulted in the fall of Satan. 1 Timothy 3:6 says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil, or the same that caused the devil's fall. 1 Timothy 6:4 says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. We're not to be like that. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Put on the Lord. This has the idea to clothe oneself, to put on the character of Christ so he can be seen. And this is our testimony. And let me remind you that everything we do in the Lord's service is to bring honor and glory to him. Now in Galatians 3:27 it says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This speaks of a believer's standing position. The passage in Romans 13:14 is speaking of a believer's state. This is the testimony. This is how a Christian is to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Have the testimony of the Lord. And it says also in that verse, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. It means do not make arrangement or provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, don't make provisions to sin. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You might want to read later on 1 Peter 4:2 and Ephesians 2:3 in connection with those verses, that verse I just read. Now we go into chapter 14 of the book of Romans, exploring the book of Romans. Now, first, I believe this chapter is the Lord wants us to know, to learn how strong and weak brethren should deal with one another. And then also, it has to do with things that are pleasing to God. We need to realize that there are strong and weak Christians. And the first thing we see here in verses 1 through 4 is how to treat each other, how to treat each other as Christians. It says in verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations, don't argue. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. The strong are to receive and not to despise the weak, according to Romans chapter 14, verse 1. And the one who is weak is a believer because he is in the faith. He's weak, but he is still a believer. And there is no indication from the context that there is a moral problem involved here. We are to receive. We are not to receive the weak believer for the purpose of having a big dispute and quarrel, criticizing him, trying to prove from the scriptures that he is immature. We're not to argue, simply to prove a point. And disputations could arise because the more mature believer is following the teachings as set forth in the gospel. In other words, a more mature believer would actually know more about the scriptures than a person who has just been saved. 1 Timothy 4, 4-5 says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Babes in Christ are not to be criticized. They're to be helped along. They're to be nurtured. Disputations could arise because the weaker believer was following the teachings as set forth in Leviticus chapter 11. Remember, he's not only talking to Gentiles here. He's talking to Jews who have recently been saved. And they may still look at the Old Testament. They need to be led to a point of knowing that what they offered as sacrifices is not necessary because Jesus is the sacrifice that made the difference. He is the one who died for their sins. Now, the believer mentioned in Romans 14:2 was evidently a Jew. who was still observing Jewish instructions about eating as set forth in Leviticus chapter 11. That a stronger Christian is not to hold in contempt or despise the weaker Christian. We're to help that Christian along. Now notice in verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. This is still carrying on the same thought here now. One man esteemeth one day above another. An example of that would be a Jewish believer may retain a high regard for certain days, such as Jewish holidays, feasts, and so forth. And even a non-Jewish Christian believer may have high regard for certain days, such as Sunday. But the Bible tells us that all days, we're to esteem all days. We are to, as unto the Lord, bring honor and glory to Him. And just because one person esteems one day above another, we're not to look down on that person, but we are to pray for that person, and we are to pray for each other that we become strong. Not causing trouble, not causing a disputation, but realizing that every one of us is saved the same way. Verse 6 of Romans 14 says, "He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord." That's the way we're supposed to do it. "And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks." Each day, and whatsoever is eaten, is to be dedicated to the Lord with thanksgiving. Whatever we do is to be dedicated to the Lord with thanksgiving. Now in our next study, we'll pick up with Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. And we'll look on beyond those verses, but that's where we're going to pick up with those verses in chapter 14. Do you know the Lord is your Savior today? You need to ask Him into your heart. You need to realize that you can't save yourself, that without Jesus Christ, you'll never see heaven. There's only one way to heaven. The Bible tells us that no man comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ. In other words, the only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, and that's Jesus. He's the Savior, and He wants to save you today. Realize you're lost. You need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. Well, let me invite you to look at our website, lrwm.org, lrwm.org. On the website, you can make sure of heaven by looking at the scriptures that's presented there, and you can be 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven. And as a Christian, you can find Bible study helps there, lrwm.org. You can find Bible study helps that will help you study the Word of God. You'll also find transcripts of this program and others of It's a Good Life, and you can also listen to this program again and other programs of It's a Good Life. Write to me today, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Write to me and let me know you're listening, and list some prayer requests that you have, and I'll pray with you that God would answer those requests. You may have someone who is not saved you want prayer for, or someone may be ill and you'd like for us to pray for them as well. Maybe you're ill and you'd like for us to pray for you. Whatever it is, write to me today, and I'll be glad to pray with you for those requests and take it to the Lord. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.